Article 7, as I said, it's one of my favorite confessional statements. It so exalts Scripture above all the writings of men, not to mention angelic or spirits or dreams or the myriad of other communications men, sadly, are so quickly and easily put their trust in. Belgic Confession Article 7 says that Scripture is sufficient. It's perfect. It's completely complete. It's lacking in nothing. It's effective. It's powerful. It's authoritative. And it is uniquely so above all else, all these things, because it is living and powerful. It is the Word of God. It is sufficient. And it is sufficient. Mainly, I'm going to just say here very briefly, it is sufficient for salvation and it's sufficient for practice or service, you might say, to keep the S's. It's sufficient for salvation. Now, if you have, by the way, if you keep your little insert out there, you'll notice I put a 1 and a 2 and a 3. That's just so that if I reference it, you might be able to find it very quickly if you wanted to. But if you listen, you'll hear. I never want you to be searching so much that you don't listen, but that Scripture is sufficient for salvation. That's the very message of Scripture itself, isn't it? It is able, we read that in 2 Timothy 3:15, it is able to make one wise unto salvation as they believe in Jesus Christ. Scripture leads us to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the central figure of Scripture, all of Scripture. And it's able to make us wise unto salvation. Jesus said this in John 5:39, and it was a rebuke. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And he says, and these bear witness of me, but you do not come to me. So when we come to the Scripture leads us to Jesus Christ. And only in that way does it save us. We must come to Jesus Christ. We can't just be people that know the Scripture, read the Scripture, memorize the Scripture. We must come to the message of Scripture, the central message, Jesus Christ. But it is sufficient for salvation. It is the living Word of God. We read that in Hebrews 4, right? The living Word of God. So it's God Himself is speaking. And therefore, it's able to give you eternal, in Hebrews 4 there, the context, it's able to give you the eternal Sabbath rest that is salvation if you believe God's Word. Psalm 19:7, which we read earlier, the law of the Lord is perfect. What? Converting the soul. It's regenerating. 1 Peter 1:23. It's quickening. Psalm 119:50 and 93. It produces faith. John 20:30. It cleanses the heart. In John 15:13 and Ephesians 5:26. The Scripture, which contains the message of Jesus Christ, is God's means for salvation. Do you understand then that it is so crucial for you to read and study and hear and listen to the Word of God for your salvation? And the encouragement that herein is the wisdom of God to lead you to the Savior. So this has to be our focus. This has to be our priority, the Word of God. It's sufficient. It's able to give you wisdom to salvation. It's also sufficient to fully equip you. It is able, number two, to fully equip you for all you need to know. All you need to know. Number two, on your confession there, it describes it as the entire manner of service. That's referring to your life and your walk and your godliness, your religious service that I mentioned this morning. Because it contains the will of God completely. The Bible contains the will of God completely for us, whatever He wanted us to know. The teaching is perfect and complete in all respects. Not just for salvation, but for service, for practice, for relationships, for marriage. Listen to some of the things. I'll just rattle these off very quickly. Don't try to write these down, okay? If you want these, I'll give these to you. It makes wise the simple, Psalm 19:7. It sanctifies, John 17:17. It unifies, Ephesians 4:13. It produces obedience, Deuteronomy 17:19-20. It equips for good works, 2 Timothy 3:17. It cleanses our way, Psalm 119:9. It keeps us from destructive paths, Psalm 17:4. It supports life, you know this, more than your daily bread, right? Matthew 4:4. It promotes growth in grace, 1 Peter 2:2. It rejoices the heart, Psalm 19:8, 119:111. The Word of God is so good for you. It's sweeter than honey. No wonder he says that. It builds up the body of Christ, Ephesians 4:12. It equips saints for service, Ephesians 4:12. It conforms us to Christ, Ephesians 4:15. It comforts us, Psalm 119:82 and Romans 15:4 and a myriad of other passages. It produces hope, Psalm 119:49. It admonishes us, Psalm 19:11, 1 Corinthians 10:11. And it tests error, 1 John 4:1. So it is immensely, the Scripture is immensely relevant for life. It is exceedingly practical. It is powerfully profitable. It is sufficient, all sufficient. And that's why he says in 2 Timothy 3:16, since it is that God-breathed word, it is his very word, it is therefore profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, listen to it, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Complete, perfect. That is placed in the original, that's placed first for emphasis. And thoroughly equipped is placed last in the sentence for emphasis. Complete and thoroughly equipped in 2 Timothy 17, the complete and thoroughly equipped, they're derived from the same Greek word, artios and exartizein. And the adjective thoroughly equipped, which is one word, the adjective has a preposition prefixed to it which even has a more perfecting aspect to it. It is really sufficient. See, it is thoroughly, absolutely everything, completely sufficient. You are fully outfitted when you know the Scripture, see, and when you apply it. And we're used to that, actually. We're used to things that are thoroughly equipped today. Vehicles, thoroughly equipped. You know, they have every option, you take a fire truck, or you take a rescue boat. It's got everything that is needed, right? You take a house, and this word is used for a house that's fully furnished. We get the idea. You go camping. You think of camping gear. You're fully packed. I go crazy when I go camping, and so I don't go camping too much because I bring everything. Except the kitchen sink. But I want to take the kitchen sink. But now you have that, right? You have those kind of things. You can have a shower. It's amazing. Some of you know that I've just started biking. I just got a bike, a mountain bike. And if you're like me, I think you would be surprised how much stuff they try to pack on a mountain bike. It's amazing. The gear you wear, the things you put on a bike, I mean, fully equipped. Fully outfitted, extra tubes, extra patches, extra pins, pumps, CO2 pumps, hand pumps, various bike tools, patches, cables, chains, links, extra spokes. I mean, things fitted under your seat. Things fitted in your your pedal area. I mean, they're just everywhere. Things. In your handlebars, it's crazy. Water membranes that they have suits where water membranes. I mean, these guys are into this, okay? And backpacks, thoroughly equipped. You'd be surprised. And they have whole shows on these things. People are living off, explaining all this equipment. Anyway, the point is, thoroughly equipped meant whatever was needed for its use, it had it, right? Whatever what is needed for its situation, it had it. Beloved, that's what Scripture does for us. That's what it does for us. Whatever we need for life and godliness, all the answers to all the questions that we need to know are there. All the answers to all the errors, they're there. And if it's not found there, then honestly, you don't really need to know it. And sometimes you don't want to know it. Okay? The Holy Spirit is saying, in every possible way, Scripture is sufficient. It completely equips the Christian. It does so for salvation, and it does so for service. Hebrews, what a statement. It's living. That's first in the sentence as well, in chapter Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It is the living word. And it uses the word energeo. It's energizing. It's powerful. And then it used the word piercing. It's like a sword. Scripture's like a sword. It's sharper, it says, than any two-edged sword. And this is not the big, broad Roman soldier sword. This is the Roman soldier sword with it, which was a little shorter and very sharp. Very sharp on both sides. It was able to pierce. It was used for very close combat. It was very used for precise, decisive cuts. It was able to get to the heart of the issue. Scripture is able to do that. Piercing, verse 12 of Hebrews 4 says, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what Scripture does. There's no creature hidden from His sight. See how it's the living Word? It's God's Word. There's no creature hidden from His sight. You can say God's sight or the Word's sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we have to give an account. It's sufficient for salvation. It's sufficient for service. Our walk. It's sufficient for evangelism. Can I say that? That's part of service, but I'll just say evangelism. You want to speak with power in this world? You want to evangelize with unbridled force, real power? It's the Word of God. You want to get to the heart of the soul of man and what he needs? It's the Word of God. Put aside all the extra biblical evidence. That's not where the power is. Shun the philosophies. The power is in the Word of God. That's where it is. Someone once said, I think it was John MacArthur, actually. Some of you told me you knew John MacArthur. I think it was John that said this, and maybe he got it from somewhere else. He says, you don't need to defend the lion, you just let it out of the cage. Right? You don't need to defend a lion. Just let it out of the cage. I remember a long time ago, I think it was in the Alva area, and I was seeing a friend, and we heard this roar! And I mean, it was unreal. If you've ever heard a lion roar, okay, that is the king of the jungle. The Word of God roars, beloved, when we read it, speak it, communicate it. It will save you. It will save men when they come to Jesus Christ. If it doesn't save, it will convict and condemn. It will equip you for life and godliness and service. It will be the greatest power on earth for evangelism and confronting error. It is sufficient. It is all sufficient. Sufficient doesn't even seem sufficient for the Word of the Scripture. Don't get caught up in books and writings about the Bible. I mean, they're very good ones. They're very important ones. But even the good ones are endless, right? Says Ecclesiastes. And men are fallible. And men are, as the confession says, they're liars by nature. Go to the Scripture above all. There are a lot of false writings too. There's a lot of internet prophets. There's the people coming constantly with saying they've got revelations from God. God has spoken to them. You need to test all the spirits with Scripture. Test all the media truth claims. that they line up with Scripture. As in verse, in not verse, excuse me, number three, as you look in your catechism there, he says, for since the entire manner of service which God requires of us is described in it at length, no one, jump down to the main clause, no one ought to teach other than what the Holy Scriptures have already taught us. Right? So they are, our confessions, if they're going to be good confessions, if we're going to have good systematic theologies, they have to teach what the Bible teaches. We can't teach anything other than the Word of God. And he puts in parenthetical the hyphens there. Even an apostle or an angel from heaven, if they come along and they say, I'm an apostle and I'm an angel from heaven and I've got a new revelation and I've got some phenomenal signs and wonders to prove it. If they say something that Scripture says, first of all, I don't need it. If they say something Scripture doesn't say, I do not want it. It's a lie. See, that's attributed to John Owen, the essence of that statement. And then in number four, I was just, when I did this, this was the first time I was trying to think of how, if I wanted to point you to that the confessional part for a long one. If you look at four, he says, therefore we may not consider any writings of men, no matter how holy these men have been, equal to the divine writings. You know what? Our own confession subordinates itself to Scripture. Isn't that great? And we should never exalt the confessions above or equal to Scripture. But that does happen. And people idolize them. They're helps. They're just helps. They're great helps. Therefore, we may not consider any writings of men, no matter how holy, and I'm almost done, so just hang with me just for a second. We may not consider any writings of men, no matter how holy these men have been, equal to the divine writings, nor may we put custom, what's that? That's human tradition. Nor the majority, what's that? The consensus, right? Nor antiquity, nor the passage of time. That's long-standing precedent. If it goes against Scripture, it's wrong. Nor persons. What's that? That's someone that comes along with rank and title and reputation and influence. If they go against Scripture, it doesn't matter. I mean, we're going to listen. We're going to listen and say, you know what? Okay, you know, he's really high up, and so maybe I better go look at my interpretation again. Maybe I'm wrong. But if we're clearly right in Scripture, we go with Scripture. That's all. Nor councils, nor decrees, nor official decisions of churches. Councils err and contradict. Reformation, right? Luther. Councils err and they contradict. We can't hold anything equal to the divine Scripture. It's all sufficient. It's all sufficient for salvation and service. I'm just going to close by reading to you a poem that was found in the first printed Bible in Scotland in 1576. Listen to this about the Word of God. Here is the spring where waters flow to quench our heat of sin. Here is the tree where truth doth grow to lead our lives therein. Here is the judge that stays our strife when men's devices fail. Here is the bread that feeds the life which death cannot assail. The tidings of salvation dear come to our ears from hence. The fortress of our faith is here, the shield of our defense. Then be not like the swine that hath a pearl at his desire and takes more pleasure in the trough and wallowing in the mire. Read not this book in any case, but with a single eye. Read not, but first desire God's grace to understand thereby. Pray still in faith with this respect to bear good fruit therein, that knowledge may bring this effect to mortify thy sin. Then happy you shall be in all your life, what so to you befalls. Yes, double happy you shall be when God by death you calls. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you that you've given us your word. Thank you that you've shown us that it is sufficient. Oh, let us not lean on our own understanding. It is very tempting when we're bombarded with the world and when we're bombarded with our own sin, and it's very tempting to trust ourselves or trust man. We pray that you would illumine your word for us and give us understanding of it. But let us trust it. It is sufficient, complete. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.